Transformation Syracuse is pleased to announce that internationally recognized prophet Chuck Pierce will be in Syracuse on Sunday night, May 6th at 6 p.m. The meeting will be held at Believer's Chapel in Cicero. For additional information, please visit transformationsyracuse.org or call 315-395-9674.
Healing Rooms of Greater Syracuse is an organization that regularly sees God do miraculous things. We had a lady come in for prayer with her husband. It was her husband who was receiving prayer, and yet her neck was completely healed. She was able to have full range of motion in her neck without any pain whatsoever. What's amazing is she had a steel plate in her neck with 8 titanium screws and clamps and couldn't move her head to the right in 5 years. She had full range of motion. She was off all pain medication. And all she did was come in with her husband and sit in the presence of God. When you're in a believing environment, God does miraculous things. So if you need a touch from God or you know someone who needs God's touch, please come in for healing prayer. We've seen God do all kinds of miraculous things. You can read some of the testimonies online at HealingSyracuse.com. So if you need a touch from God or you know someone who needs God's touch, please come in for healing prayer. Even medical studies confirm the power of prayer. Doesn't your doctor send you to a specialist for specific medical problems? Then why not include Jesus Christ, the great physician, in your list of specialists and come in for healing prayer?
Please visit the Healing Rooms of Greater Syracuse on Thursdays from 3 to 8 p.m.
We're located at 526 Old Liverpool Road in Liverpool, New York.
For detailed directions, please call 315-395-9674 or visit our website at healingsyracuse.com.
In 1915, the lightning of God hit Spokane. Over the next 5 years, 100,000 people were healed of every imaginable disease. A group of believers headed by Reverend John G. Lake leased space in a downtown Spokane office building and, following the instructions of Jesus Christ found in the Bible, began to pray for the sick. Thousands were miraculously healed. Cancer tumors literally fell from some. Others threw down their crutches and wheelchairs as the healing power of Jesus restored twisted and deformed limbs. By 1920, Spokane was declared the healthiest city in the world. The power of God is healing the sick again, and He can heal you. We invite you to stop by or visit our website.
Hi, Rod Howard here once again. Welcome to the program. And let's begin again today with an incredible testimony. I have Maureen Atterbury on the line. Hi, Maureen.
Hi.
I understand you had for many years a hyperactive thyroid.
Correct.
Tell me a little bit about that.
Well, it seems that it was something that's generational. My grandmother, my mother, my sisters have all had it. And I just got really lethargic and went to the doctor and found out that I needed to be put on thyroid medication and had been put on it for quite so many years. When I had called my mom and said that, you know, I was feeling some of the symptoms, she said, oh, it's probably your thyroid and you better get to the doctor. And sure enough, it was my thyroid.
Now, you'd also had a shoulder injury.
Yes, that was a really weird thing. I was in my closet hanging up a blouse, and it felt like a knife was going through my shoulder. And I literally fell on the ground. The pain was so intense. And I went to the emergency room. They took x-rays. They couldn't find anything wrong. And I ended up being treated by a chiropractor for almost a year. I went to the healing rooms for that, and the Lord revealed that I had some unforgiveness issues. And so when I said, okay, let's deal with it, and I went through some healing as far as some jealousy issues that I didn't even know that I had until these things started to come up, instantly the pain was gone. I was able to lift my arm above my head, where before I couldn't even move my arm. It was just, the pain was so immense, just even trying to pick up a pen. Here I was able to lift my arm up over my head, and I've never again had this problem. I'm even going to a gym now.
What about the thyroid situation?
I was in prayer, and the Lord spoke to me and said, because you've been obedient, I'm healing your thyroid. 30 days went by, and I went and had a blood test done, and the blood test came back with a normal thyroid. And I haven't had been on thyroid since, and I've been fine. I just praise God.
All right, this is your opportunity, Maureen, to say something to anyone else in the world that has a hyperactive thyroid or a shoulder injury. What would be the one thing you'd say to them?
Be obedient, even in the small things. Because when God can trust you with the small things, He blesses you in the big things.
We just hear more and more testimonies as God continues to increase the healing anointing in His body and in the world. Such a blessing to hear these things. How you doing, Cal?
I'm doing just terrific.
How do these testimonies affect you?
Oh, boy. I tell you, there's nothing more exciting than working for God and pouring your life out, seeing a ministry team here, especially here in Spokane. You know, we've got about 100 ministry team members, and to seeing them pray for the sick with authority and power, and seeing the healing rooms begin to start up all over the country and other countries, it's tremendously exciting to see what God is doing in his body. He wants his body healed up.
That's right. And we've been talking about roadblocks to healing, and we've covered unforgiveness, lack of knowledge, not discerning the Lord's body. The question is healing for all, and today we want to deal with something that is fairly prevalent in the body of Christ, and that is this concept that somehow I'm sick for God's glory, that he's going to receive glory because of my malady or affliction.
Yes. You know, and this is something that we constantly run into here. And, of course, this is why when we do conferences and when we minister to people here, we put the provision of the word in to bring a proper understanding so that those who come for prayer will have a foundation of faith to begin to rest on. And, you know, this idea that God gets glory because we're sick or that God inflicts us for his glory is not proper. It keeps us in bondage. You know, if it would be like saying, well, if I want to give God glory and I'm sick for his glory, then you might as well say, well, I'm not sick enough. You know, I need more sickness to glorify him more. But God gets glory in what his son Jesus has provided. The Father is glorified through what the Son has done. So when we have the benefit of the cross, then the Father gets the glory for it. God is not going to use sickness against us to bring glory to himself. Now, in the midst of any sickness or any turmoil, we can glorify God. But God doesn't bring it to us so that we can glorify him because of it. See, we need to glorify God in spite of it. And when we become sick and afflicted from the work of the enemy, we need to have the provision of what Jesus provided for our healing manifested in us, because the Father sent his Son to destroy the work of the enemy. He's not going to use the work of the enemy against us when he sent his Son to destroy it in the first place. That makes no sense. So God does not get any glory out of the sickness that comes from the enemy on us. He gets glory when what Jesus has provided destroys that work, and we have that provision of what is represented in the atonement. Then we can glorify God. Father, I give you glory that what Jesus has done has brought healing to my body. That's the proper way to do it. You know, if we... I would say probably the greatest deception that the enemy can bring upon the church is to cause the church to believe that what the enemy does in sickness is okay with God. And if we're sick for God's glory, then it must be okay with God. So the enemy says then, hey, this is great because I can inflict you and you're going to take it and you're going to give God glory for it. And that keeps you in bondage. So we need to get out of the bondage. We need to understand what the devil is trying to do and break that curse.
So there's a difference between, as Paul talked about, being content in all things, there's a difference between glorifying God in the midst of a circumstance and glorifying him for the circumstance.
That's right. That's right. You know, there, God says, pray this way, thy kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Well, if there's no sickness in heaven, why should there be any here? There's no sickness in God. God will not use sickness against us, as I said before, when he sent his Son to destroy that sickness. Jesus said, I came to destroy the work of the devil. And that work is poverty, sickness, and death. Jesus came to destroy that. He said, I came to give you life and life more abundantly. I desire that you prosper, that you be in health, even as your soul prospers, he tells us. So the provision is to destroy that work of the enemy, not to keep it in place so that somehow God is glorified by it.
In other words, in the midst of the sickness or whatever it is, until the manifestation comes, you should definitely glorify God, because we're supposed to glorify him in all things. But to glorify him believing that he brought that sickness on us is to play exactly into the enemy's hands. And put ourselves in a position where we can't receive healing if we believe that it's God's will for us to be there.
Well, yes. You know, when sickness comes, we can glorify God in the provision of what Jesus provided up front. Not when we see the manifestation of the healing taking place. We don't wait till then to give God glory. We can glorify God now when we have an understanding that Jesus, by his stripes, provided a provision for healing for us, and we begin to confess that. We possess it then. We need to possess that, say, Father, I give you glory in what Jesus has given me, because faith is a substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. So therefore, when you receive the benefit of the word and it comes into you, that seed comes into you, it begins to grow. And we can give God glory in that seed being planted in us, knowing that that seed will produce a harvest of healing. So we walk by faith, not by sight. So don't wait for the manifestation to be there to glorify God. We can glorify God because of what Jesus provided is in us, producing a harvest of healing. And part of that is what activates faith. By doing that, by having our confession give the Father glory, then we are releasing the substance that's in the seed of the word, just like a farmer. When he takes a seed, he puts it in the ground, he adds a water. His confession is, I'm going to have a harvest. He doesn't wait to see. He knows that there's a seed time and a harvest time. We can do the same thing with the provision of the word when we plant it in our heart, confessing those things that are not as though they were, and letting that substance of the seed be released in our confession and our glorifying to the Father of what Jesus has done. See, that provides, therefore, a no-so faith for that manifestation, not a hope-so faith. Very important. Very important.
I appreciated one of the things I heard you say before one time concerning hope being something that is a future event and faith being something that's for the present.
Well, yes. You know, hope holds it off. When we talk about the provision for healing, people say, well, I hope I'm healed. Hope holds it off because hope is something in the future. Faith takes it. Hope holds it off. Faith is taking something as a reality now, even though you don't see it. And that's what I was saying earlier, that is so important about faith. It releases that substance or it activates the seed to begin to grow. If you go and plant the seed in the ground, you plant it in there and you never water it, it's not going to grow. It's just going to sit there. It's the water that activates it. For us, the seed of the word, when it's in our heart, we activate it with our confession that brings the possession of what we want. It's and part of that activating is glorifying God for the seed that was given to us. Jesus said, I was planted as one seed in the furrows of the earth to produce a great harvest of many new seeds, many new wheat kernels, a great harvest of salvation and healing. So we need to have that benefit.
So it sounds like then that a very critical part of healing is to glorify God for the seed that he's given you as well as the harvest that you know is going to come as a result of the faith that you have
in
that seed.
That's right. See, and that's why we said that healing comes through going beyond the promise into the offering, because it requires us to do something. See, what we're talking about right now is the requirement to bring salvation and healing to us. Something we have to do brings it, not something God does. God already did everything he's going to do about salvation and healing when he sent his son to the cross. What Jesus did was a complete work. It wasn't a partial work. It wasn't a work that had to have more of a release done in the future. When Jesus did it, he said, it is finished. That's it. Now the rest is up to us. What are we going to do with what Jesus has given us? Are we going to take it with our free will and then begin to obey what the Father has said? And that's what we're talking about.
So we must move from declaring, I'm sick for God's glory, to declaring, I'm healed for God's glory.
That's right.
All right.
Amen.
We're out of time again. Thanks, Cal.
Bless you.
For healing prayer, please visit the Healing Rooms of Greater Syracuse on Thursdays from 3 to 8 p.m. We're located at 526 Old Liverpool Road in Liverpool, New York. For detailed directions, please call 315-395-9674 or visit our website at healingsyracuse.com. If there's anything too hard for God, will God meet your needs? Let's ask him.